Hello, Bnei Baruch. Hello, World Kli. As they said yesterday in Yeshivat Chavarim, imagine all the people study Kabbalah. We are beginning with peace in the world. This will be our section before we begin our preparation for the lesson. Everything is evaluated not by its appearance at a given moment, but according to the measure of the... Oh, sorry, it's not that. It's a different section. Good and bad are evaluated according to... by the actions of the individual towards society. Before we examine the correction of evil in the human species, this is from Peace in the World. We must first determine the value of those abstract terms, good and bad. Meaning, when we define an act or an attribute as good or bad, we should clarify whom that attribute or act benefits. To understand that, we must thoroughly know the proportional value between the individual and the collective, meaning the individual and the collective within which this individual lives, and by which he is provided for both in matter and in spirit. Reality shows us that there is no right to exist for an isolated individual without a sufficient number of people around him to serve him and help him provide for his needs. This is an abbreviated version. So this means that each person is born to live in a social life. So each person is like one wheel in a machine, and they're all interdependent, and no individual will has freedom to move as it pleases, but it continues along with the movement of all the other wheels in a certain direction for the benefit of the collective machine, of the machine in general. And if there's some corruption in the wheel, that problem with the wheel is not evaluated according to the function to the benefit or harm to the will itself, but according to the function of the will in the entire machine. And so it is in our case, the value of each individual is not regarded for each individual specifically, but according to the benefit or harm to the entire public. And also we do not evaluate the harm of every individual specifically, but according to how much that person harms their collective. These words are as clear as the sun at noon, both from the perspective of the truth and perspective of the goodness, because the collective only has what the individual has, and the benefit of the collective is individual of every single individual. He who harms the collective takes his part in the damage, and he who benefits the collective takes his part in the benefit, because the individual are a part of the collective, and the collective is worth no more than the sum of its individuals. It turns out that the collective and the individual are one and the same, and there's no harm to the individual because of its enslavement to the collective, because the freedom of the individual and the freedom of the collective are also the same thing. And as they divide the good, so they divide freedom. As they share the good, they also share the freedom. Thus, good attributes and bad attributes, good deeds and bad deeds are evaluated only according to the benefit of the public. Of course, the above words apply if all individuals perform their role toward the public to the fullest and receive no more than they deserve and take no more than their friends share. But if a part of the collective does not behave accordingly, it turns out that not only do they harm the collective, but they are also harmed. we should not discuss further something that is known to all, and the aforesaid is only to show the drawback, meaning the place that needs correction, and that is that each and every individual will understand that his own benefit and the benefit of the collective are one and the same. In that, the world will attain its full correction. We can add to that that we learn that everything we do now in instead of concealment is in order to open our eyes and then we can see the only system where we are all connected. And what happens to the collective is what happens to the individual, and the individual and the collective are one and the same. The discovery of this system in this way is already the revelation of the Creator. The connection between us, or among us, actually, that is revealed. From that we begin to change. And to the extent that we change it, we change, our acts change, and so on. Without seeing it, it is impossible to improve. So what do we do before that? Before that, everything we do is, if we want this system to open to us, and open in such a way that it'll correct us to the form of bestowal, that's what we need. We cannot perform an act of the soul before it appears to us that this is how we are connected. But wanting it to appear this way, that's what we need first. It's called a need without a need. That's why everything we do, all our actions, everything we do now, we should do as if we can already see the system as it is described by the Kabbalists. Our conduct, our behavior among us is as though the system is open to us. So when we try to do what we do toward each other and toward the Creator as if we have the fuel, as if it is open, then we find that we can't, that the will to receive keeps intensifying and doesn't let us do these things, because we don't really have the fuel, the revelation of the Creator to do these things. The system is still not open to us. As you remember, Baal HaSulam writes about the Magid, the Sayyid from Dubna, "You did not call upon me, O Jacob." We will find that we only serve our own egos, not the Creator. And then we'll have a demand for the upper world, the godly system, to open to us. The providence that is not revealed, so that it'll give us the fuel to perform an act of bestowal. For that reason, we will want the revelation of the Creator, because without it, we will not be able to reach bestowal, to become like Him. So And then the prayer will be not in order to exploit the situation, like Pharaoh, who wanted to use Moshe, but it'll be because I have to have the godly force in order to become the giver.